Waking Up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
As Canadians, we're great at a lot of things. Trash talking apparently is not one of them.
Well, we're just maybe too polite to do it, right?
We're worried about actually hurting the person's feelings.
And ain't that the truth?
Even when it comes to the NBA playoffs. And the Raptors right now leading the series 2-1 after last night's game 3. There was a player from the Golden State Warriors who was saying that Canadians are just so polite even with the trash talk.
Klay Thompson, yeah.
Klay Thompson is like, you know, the best that we can ever give is like, well, I hope you have a bad day.
Boo. Like no swearing.
Nothing
like that. Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel did a great segment on the show talking to Canadians, seeing if they could trash talk. And, well, the results are pretty much what you'd expect.
We're talking to Canadians and asking them to trash talk the Warriors. Are you ready? Trash talk.
No. We don't do that here.
And we are asking Canadians to trash talk the Golden State Warriors. Are you ready? Trash talk.
I would not do that against anybody. Canadians don't do that.
Let me hear you trash talk the Warriors a little bit. Trash talk.
No. We are polite. We are Canadians.
They're a great team. I don't think I can trash talk them. I think they're in the finals for a reason.
Why would I trash talk them? They haven't done nothing wrong to me or my team.
And even when pushed to trash talk the Golden State Warriors, this is the best that Jimmy Kimmel could actually find on the streets.
You're losing tonight. You're losing. That's it. That's my trash talk.
Trash talk.
Well, we're Trini, so we cook curry, so curry's gonna get cooked.
Yeah.
Go to hell.
Oh.
That's
terrible.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean I hope we don't win.
I love it. It's the immediate
regret. Oh my God. That's oh, Canada.
You're waking up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
We're going to open up the Kiss Confessional once again. The topic today, my gross coworker.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new survey that has revealed some of the grossest things that we see in our coworkers that we have to deal with.
Do you have personal ones about me? Is it?
Sorry to look at you directly in the eye while I said that.
Is this where you air all our dirty laundry here on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I can handle it.
That's okay. I know, like, for everyone I throw out to you, you can just bring out my hard-boiled eggs that I have for breakfast. So
you know
fine.
What? It doesn't bother me.
It does, Producer Jordan. I know.
Yeah. Yes, it smells disgusting. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Sonia, don't kill me. There is one thing Sonia does in here that she does many times a week.
Oh, it's my back cracking.
No, that doesn't annoy me because I like cracking my neck. Sonia's one to take off her shoes in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, your feet don't smell, but it's just really weird to me to have, like, your, like, feet are out, and then they're over here, and then she puts her shoes back on, and she takes them off.
Yeah, because I sit on my feet.
Okay, so a lot of people get grossed out by feet and, like, you know, not having shoes on in the workplace, and especially in a smaller, confined space.
Yeah.
That's never bothered me, but here are some of the top answers, according to the survey, when coworkers don't wash their hands after using the washroom.
Oh, my God, that's it.
That's terrible.
That's anybody.
Because then you look around, and you see everything that they've touched. When they microwave smelly foods.
Oh.
When they leave their food in the refrigerator for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes green.
And it just starts taking up the space. And then you're right. You don't want to put your food beside theirs as well.
Mm-mm.
When they play around with the thermostats.
Sorry.
When they don't wipe. When they don't wipe the toilet seat.
Oh.
So we asked you to enter the Kiss Confessional. Tell us about your gross coworker. What have you had to deal with? What horrible, disgusting habit? Here's one that I think a lot of us can identify with through text 10456. My gross coworkers fill the sink with dirty dishes, food scraps, used tea bags, and used napkins. Sometimes the sink clogs and gets filled with the nasty water, and I've had to stick my hand in there one too many times.
Oh,
someone's got to clean that, man.
Yeah.
And then that orange ring of, like, water. Oh.
A lot of smell-related confessions. My gross coworker. My coworker's a VP and can walk into the office Monday morning and smells like a 20-day-old gym clothes. Every day, everywhere he goes, it fills the room with that smell.
Oh, my God. And I always wonder with people like that, like, how do you tell them? Because we all know somebody like that.
Why are you looking at me?
I wasn't.
Is that me?
It's because I was not looking, trying to look at the other direction.
Really? Is it me? I think I smell pretty damn good.
If you wear any more Axe body spray, I'm about to pass out.
It's not Axe.
I need your inhaler, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
Get me the mask.
I've got a refill on my Ventolin. You can have it if you want.
Thanks for helping her with her time of need.
My gross coworker confession. My gross coworker leaves his half-smoked cigarettes all around the office.
Ew.
Sometimes on my desk.
What?
I don't smoke, and my desk smells like an ashtray. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Can you give them like a buzzer or something?
You or like
failed.
An ejection seat.
Yeah.
Just shoot them out of the office.
You know, in that Ellen game show where they just like drop them?
Nowhere go? Yeah, if you're guilty of any of these things.
They should just do that.
How about this one? My gross coworker habits. I work in an office, and it drives me nuts when people with fake nails are constantly clicking them everywhere, like tapping them on the desk just to make noise. Also, BO. We're all adults now. Mm-hmm. Learn how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Preach, man.
Yeah.
Preach.
And what about this one?
Yeah.
My gross coworker likes to clip their toenails.
No!
At their desk.
No!
Wait. And saves them in a jar.
No! No!
No!
Report them to the police immediately. This is behavior that should not be accepted anywhere.
Oh. You're waking up with Kevin and
his radio. All it takes is one. One really gross coworker, and they can just really make going to work not a pleasant experience.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a gross coworker at work, it's probably you.
I want to look in the mirror. I don't think every office has a gross coworker. At least not.
Yes, they do.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
People are nasty. Nasty.
Okay. To what extent, though? I mean, we're opening up the Kiss Confessional. We've heard everything from smelly coworkers to those who don't wash their hands, those who clip their toenails at their desk and save them in a jar. I mean, like, come on. There's different levels of grossness that you can tolerate, that you can deal with. Some of them are ones that really do make it difficult to work alongside that person. Others are like, okay, well, that's gross, but I can still do my work. I can still go to work and it'll be fine.
If you need nose plugs while you're at work, then, yeah, that's a gross coworker. Text message coming in. My gross coworker does not shower. We work a construction job where you get quite dirty, and he only takes baths. But bathing in dirty water, dirty, filthy construction water, he smells like a wet dishcloth.
Oh,
you know, the kind that was, like, left in the corner for weeks on end.
Ooh, it's, like, crusty.
Probably started growing some stuff on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Not good!
We're taking your confessions in the Kiss Confessional about your gross coworker.
My ex-coworker used to always go number two in the changing room every day at the exact same time. It also happened to be at the same time when we used to change into our uniforms, so everybody was in there. On top of that, never would wash his hands.
Oh.
And this Kiss Radio listener said that I finally got fed up, followed him back to his desk, called him out, and made him sanitize the doors, wash his hands, everything you touched.
Okay, some people have a particular schedule with their bodily functions. And I don't think you can necessarily fault that unless it was perhaps intentional, where this guy was just like, I'm going to get everybody at the same time. 7 o'clock, it's time to go. But certainly, you know, washing your hands is key.
Oh, totally. Another text message at one place. Every time this girl went to the restroom, she would turn the water tap on for like half a second to make it sound like she was washing her hands. But we're all sure, half a second, not long enough to wash your hands.
So
we all know that person.
I'm just going to turn it on to give the impression. Like, why don't you just wash your hands at that point?
You know, and you know that person that just washes the tips?
Oh.
You know?
Come on.
You got to lather.
You got to rinse, lather.
Rub it up.
We don't need to repeat, but, you know. Here's another confession.
Yeah.
My gross coworker thinks it's okay to fart all the time in the office and thinks by speaking loudly when farting, nobody will notice.
You just cough instead?
No.
Right?
You just talk loudly like, good morning, Karen.
Well, maybe that's just what happens when they talk really loud. Yeah, maybe that's just a side effect because they're pushing so much pressure out of their mouth, it also comes out the other end. Right? Like when they're like, hey!
That was mistimed.
Yeah.
Kiss Radio, that's Daddy Yankee, who says, back in 1992, this was his favorite song. He said it was one of his favorite songs growing up, and he said when he had this idea for this new song, Konkama, that he wanted to honor this classic in order to make a new version of it. So he said, you know, the only way to do it right is to actually have snow on it to do the revised lyrics.
And he was like, yeah, I'm free. I've been free since 1992.
I'm so glad someone asked, because I've been waiting for my phone to ring for a very, very long time.
Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Do you ever get that feeling of betrayal when you find out that an actor that you really enjoy seeing is not actually American, but they have such a convincing American accent that you're like, how did you lie to me? I take it so personally.
That's fantastic acting, though.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's so good that we decided that we'd make a contest out of this. So, producer Jordan, you pulled up some clips of actors who, and now we have to guess, Sonia and I have to guess whether or not these are actual American accents or they're fake.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them might be pretty hard. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's take a listen and we'll guess.
It's opening night. Madeline's going to be so disappointed. It's a whole big thing. Baby, no, I can't do that.
Why? Well, that's totally a fake accent.
Fake.
Is it?
That's fake.
Okay, do you know who it is?
Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman, right?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about the way you can hear a little bit of the Australian.
Yeah.
With it slips in and out.
I mean, okay, to be fair, I kind of recognize her voice right away as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So for that reason, and I know that she has an accent.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
1-1.
Real or fake American accent?
When I was a kid, did you ever love me or anything? You cursed me.
You're a monster.
Okay, I don't recognize the movie, but that sounds like Isla Fisher. I'm going to say that's a fake accent.
I think so, too, because I notice a little bit of hesitation when she's speaking, and I don't know if that's just acting for the scene, but I feel like she is thinking twice before she speaks, so I'm going to say fake.
All right, Jordan?
It was for the scene, and you are right. It's fake.
Ah! Who is that?
Margot Robbie and I, Tonya.
Okay.
And she's Australian.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Australians.
I don't even think I knew that she had an accent. Yeah. I watched I, Tonya.
That's what I'm talking about. See, doesn't it make you feel betrayed?
Liar.
It's like, I've been fooled.
And it is betrayed because you just said, oh, that has to be fake, but then you didn't think she had an accent.
Well, I didn't know it was Margot Robbie. I didn't know who
Yeah.
I didn't recognize the voice. Okay.
Okay, real or fake American accent?
Well, for starters, you can get your stubborn down here and give me a divorce. Come on, Jake. I mean it. The joke's over.
That's real. A real accent.
Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, it is.
Real.
Okay.
Wow.
Good ears, Sonia.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Okay, real or fake American accent?
I'm not round the way no more. You want to find me? I'm right here. This and some real estate I'm working on is all. You know, more than enough to occupy me, really.
Okay, I don't recognize the scene or the actor, but I'm going to say that's a real accent for sure.
Real.
Fake.
Ah!
This is a
Who is that?
We all know him. We love him. It's Idris Elba.
Oh,
he's British. Yeah.
Damn it.
Wow, that was good. That was good. Okay. All right. Here's one more round, real or fake American accent.
I thought I'd get your theories, mock them, then embrace my own. The usual. As I suspected, you have significant losses in the upper right quadrant of your visual field.
Oh, sure? I know who this is, so that's kind of cheating.
Okay. Before you answer, then, I'm going to say real.
It's fake.
Oh,
it is fake.
It's Hugh Laurie, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
From House.
I was looking at your face while you're listening. I'm like, I don't know who this is. And you're like, oh, and it hit you. You're like,
Wow, I am super impressed by all the talent out there. And I'm really impressed that Kevin can always tell when someone's faking it.
That was purposely loaded, wasn't it?
Kevin and Sonia's Netflix and Spill.
Always Be My Maybe is a new rom-com from friends at Netflix. And the movie's all about the challenges that two people can face in a relationship. And, if you've got a situation and you need some advice, you can always send us a text at 104.56.
So this one message comes up from Jay. A guy I'm dating makes more than me and always offers to pay when we go out. But now I'm starting to feel a little bit guilty about it because I know it's something I'll never be able to repay him for. So he wants to go to these expensive restaurants. He always buys expensive bottles of wine for date night. But when I plan the dates, it's got to be something low-key because I just don't have the same budget as him. Now, he has said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm happy to pay. But I'm worried that eventually he's going to feel like he is investing more in this relationship money-wise when it comes to this relationship, and it could lead to problems down the road. So is it something that's just said at the top, like, it's fine, but really it's like, you better step it up once in a while?
No, I mean, if it's understood that there is a disparity in the amount of money that one person brings into a relationship than another, and the other person is fine with treating that person out, that's not a problem. I think, you know, if it's in your head that you're worried about it, and you have that discussion, and they already tell you, it's fine, don't worry about it. It's my pleasure to treat you out. And when you plan dates, and we all know that dates don't have to be expensive in order to be fun or memorable. I mean, I think each person can bring a different perspective into what that relationship can be and the amount of fun that, you know, can come out of that dating.
I think a lot of the times when it comes to these relationships, have you ever heard about the love languages? Like, what's your love language?
Oh, yeah. Right.
And it's either like, oh, it's gifts or it's time or it's physical touch. And I think you have to figure out what each person's love language is. And for this person, their love language is gifts, it seems like, right? Because they want to spend money on buying nice wine.
Treating them.
And that's their love language. But you have to figure out what their love language is. So if their love language is, in turn, personal time, like spending time together, or physical touch, then you have to show that you can give them that love language back. Mm. I mean, because, and I only say this because I come from a world that's very similar. My love language is gifts. I love to give gifts and do things for peace, people I love, like acts of kindness, you know?
You're very generous. Like, you've got such a kind heart, and you never expect anything in return.
No, and it actually makes me feel awkward when somebody does it back to me. Right. I don't want that. One of the best things people can give me in return is their time.
Right.
I think that is one of the most valuable things. So you have to really have a conversation of that love language is, what's your love language? And you have to, in this case, trust them. I know it seems weird, trust in a relationship, but if they say it's okay,
yes,
you got to trust what they're saying and believe that it is.
And again, that's the key part, is that they've already said explicitly, I really take pleasure in treating you out, and it's not causing a strain. And even though we all feel maybe a little bit guilty when you have that friend who always wants to treat you out, that like you need to reciprocate, if that conversation never happened, yes, sometimes there can be a bit of a strain in a relationship if one person wants to do fancy things all the time and you just honestly cannot afford that.
Yeah.
And they just want to live the lavish lifestyle. They can't stay in a hostel. They don't want to dine in the 2-star restaurant or grab fast food or whatever. Then you look at the two differences in lifestyles and go, am I really as compatible with this person? But if they're already finding common ground despite this, and they can get over, specifically this guy, he can get over the fact that he just doesn't make as much money, but he can find other ways to make this person happy, that's fine.
100%, man.
Yeah.
Totally. There are definitely ways that they can find common ground with this, and I say just trust them. Always Be My Maybe. You can watch it now only on Netflix.
You're waking up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Can a money disparity be a wedge in a relationship when you're first starting to date? Now, obviously, when you become a couple and you merge your finances, then their money, your money, they're sort of the same. But if you are dating, and one person is always paying the bills.
Yes.
One person is always picking up the tabs. One person is always treating the other. Can that actually put a strain on the relationship? That's the question that one of our listeners, Jay, wanted to know, because his person that he's seeing is always paying for everything, and he feels kind of self-conscious about it.
Because he openly says, like, I can't afford to go on these lavish dates that you always want to go on. So when it's his turn to plan the date, it's usually something a little more low-key and budget-friendly. He goes, I feel guilty, even though he says, it's totally okay. I've got this. I want to do this for you. Don't worry about it. But worried that eventually this is going to cause some resentment in the relationship because they're not spending the equal amount of monetary investment in the relationship.
In relationships, you know, everybody in a relationship brings a particular different love language. I love when you bring up love language here in the show, because it shows that we all have different strengths and different qualities that we bring to a new relationship.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Sonia. It's Jeff from the island.
Jeff
from the island.
You know what? It's kind of crazy, that love language thing. It's like, I'm heavy into that with my spouse.
Yeah.
Because my spouse is always about giving, gifting. Mm-hmm. But realistically, her love language isn't the gifting. Her love language is compliments. And mine is more physical touch. So in the beginning of our relationship, I was like bankrupt. It was like, I didn't even know why she wanted me. Like, no.
Maybe because you were a good person.
So, yeah, there are other reasons. Yeah.
So it was like, when somebody is in a relationship that way and they're giving you that, the reciprocation is correct. You have to know what their love language is, but it's not always what your love language is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a conversation that a lot of couples need to have. And I noticed that with my husband, for example. He is, how he shows me love is acts of service. Like, he likes to make sure that, you know, he leaves a note somewhere, or like make sure the house is clean, or makes my lunch for me. Food is my language. To be real,
it's not service, it's food.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's for him. He loves to do things like that. And for me, I love to give gifts all the time. And he's one of those people that tries to buy me gifts. And I was like, please don't, because it makes me feel awkward.
Also, we're sharing a bank account, and only one of us can be, and only one of us can afford to be the
with our money.
Only one of us can be the generous one.
Yeah. Advice to that other gentleman, though. My grandfather always said, whatever you do to get the girl, you have to do for life. So if he's going to be shelling out money, you can't just all of a sudden stop and take that away, you know?
Well, if that's the only reason why that person is with you too, that's also worth discussing.
Things change. Like, the cash flow could change. And if you're constantly a spender, that's huge on the relationship too.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you know what? I love you guys, and you guys take care, and I'll always be tuning in.
Hey.
Aw, just stop it.
Jeff.
Okay,
take care, guys.
You're waking up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Well, it wasn't that bad, was it? According to some tweets online, maybe it was. That rendition of O Canada was completely butchered, according to one person. That was at least 80% of the actual Canadian anthem.
That is an accurate way to describe it, for sure.
The Raptors winning game 3 in the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors. And it was what happened before the game that had a lot of people talking on Twitter. And that was the performances of the national anthems. Metallica did the U.S. national anthem, an instrumental guitar version, kind of like a Jimi Hendrix cover.
Yeah.
And the Canadian national anthem was done by Tennille Arts, a Canadian country singer. And she took some liberties with the phrasing and the pacing of it.
Oh, red, white, okay. Stand on guard for thee, God keep our land.
Wasn't that bad? Maybe it's just because I'm going into it with having read all the tweets about it. And
exactly what it is, because when she started, and that was the big moment, right? She gets introduced, she comes on, she looks fantastic, she's got the microphone, and all of a sudden,
it's hard to sing along to when the performers who do the national anthem, and I never, like, I always feel bad for the people who are asked to do the national anthem, because you are going to be picked apart. If you make a mistake, you say the wrong words, you know, you're slightly off key, or you try to take any kind of creative liberties, people will rake you through the coals.
Can we just agree that's one thing you should not change? Can we just leave the national anthem the way it is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do we need to get fancy with it?
Because she's a performer and she wants to take the stage. I mean, like, look, Metallica, look what they did with the U.S. national anthem. They took their own creative liberties. It was still recognizable, but it's just, if it doesn't fit into what you think is okay to play around with the national anthem,
you know,
that's different.
It's just, here's how it worked when I was watching the game last night and getting ready for the national anthem. And when she started singing and you go to start to sing along, you're like, oh, wow, did I miss a key? Am I? Oh, what is happening? Because you couldn't follow along. And that's what makes it tough. And that is one of the things that shows your country pride, is when you can sing along to a song. Sure, if you want to change it a little bit, do it up. If you're like Christina Aguilera and you can do the runs and you are a queen like that, sure. But the problem with that one was, and just caught me a little bit off guard again, like that one comment that you read out that was 80% correct. That's how I felt. It felt like, I was like, oh, okay, I just stopped singing, and that's not what I want to do when I'm hearing the national anthem.
You look to the performer as the conductor,
as the
band leader to get everybody else singing in unison.
Yeah.
Then that's fair. Do you ever play the high-low guessing game whenever you're at a public assembly and they're doing the national anthem?
What's the high-low?
So the last two notes of O Canada, you can either go high or you can go low.
Oh.
And in the case of Tennille Arts in game 3 of the Raptors and Golden State Warriors, she went high.
We stand on guard for thee.
Right, it's that big finish, right? You hit the high notes, but not everybody can hit the high notes. For example, sometimes you know, somebody is singing the song and they start in a key that's just not in your range.
Ooh.
And then you get something like this. These are a bunch of Raptors fans in Oakland.
Oh,
couldn't quite get that high.
I mean, okay, they're not professional singers. singers. I mean, at that point, I have never carried a tune in my life. You are fully aware of that, that I cannot sing. I have zero rhythm, so I look for them for a lead. I'm just happy I get the words right.
That's true. It is interesting, though, sometimes trying to guess whether or not the performer themselves are going to chicken out and hitting those high notes. Because you can always tell when they're doing an acapella and they start too high and they realize in their eyes, like, you can see there's fear, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we stand on guard for...
I still like that. I like that better than last night's performance. I'll say that. Oh. You got an A from me, buddy. You got an A.
Come on! Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
It's one of the biggest honors that you can have in somebody's life where they say, hey, I'm getting married. Will you be part of my wedding party?
At first. And then your bank appointment, you're like,
Yeah.
Being a part of a bridal party or a wedding party is expensive.
So
it
much
gets pricey.
So much so that 32% of bridesmaids and 42% of maids of honor say that they strain their relationship with the bride over finances and how much money it costs to be part of the wedding party.
Those people are lying. The stat should be closer to 100%.
Really?
I think majority of the time and most of the time, there is some sort of headbutting that goes on, especially when you're part of the bridal party or you're part of... Okay, I'm just speaking from personal experience here. Love my girlfriends and they're fantastic, but I know the stress that comes along with it because you've got the best friend, right? So in my case, when my girlfriend was getting married, I will do anything. I am in. You want us to get matching sunglasses? You got it. You want matching shoes? No problem,
girl. Want your nails to look the same?
I have no problem. I will spend it. I am excited. I want to be part of the best big day, but everyone has different budgets.
Yeah.
And everyone has different lifestyles. So when you want to try to make, in this case, four people, or sometimes even bigger, I don't know how people do it, because it's so hard to manage that many personalities and budgets, you get a little bit of resistance. You get a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for when you're just like resentment? And you're like, ugh, she wants me to spend money on this again.
And especially if you're trying to really budget your life down to like the dollar.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have the $60 nails, like you were saying, or, you know, and even just the attire, like the bridesmaid's dress, for example, those can be hundreds of dollars. So you can, yeah, I can understand why there's some strain in the relationship, but if there's so much strain, should you not just bring it up and be honest with the bride, the groom?
You don't want to stress out the bride, or you don't want to stress out anybody in the wedding. That's the thing. So as the friend, you go and you're like, I don't want to bring up the fact that I can't afford to spend this because they're spending XYZ on their wedding. They're budgeting too. And you don't want to give them any extra stress, because at that point, when someone's getting married, you know what it's like, Kevin. It's like the littlest things end up stressing you out a bit, right? You're like, which cake? I don't know. And all of a sudden, these things that normally don't really matter, you're probably putting so much pressure on.
But because you're so caught up in that world, sometimes it's easy to forget what you're asking from the people around you.
Yeah.
And so if that, you know, the amount of money that you're asking your wedding party to spend keeps growing, and again, you're just not in that world.
Yeah.
I think it's totally fine to bring it up with the couple to be, you know, the married couple, to say, it's really tight. I want to be there for you. What can we do? Are you stuck on this thing? Can I opt out of this or whatever? Because I think 99% of the time, if they're asking you to be part of their wedding party,
they want you to be there.
They want you to be there, and they don't want you to bow out because of financial reasons. And if there is, as the stats say, that much strain on a relationship between the people getting married and the people they're asking to be in the wedding party just because of finances, you should bring that up.
Yeah, it's just, it's really hard to, money is hard to talk about anytime, right? And especially with the best friend, when you're worried about ruining somebody's special day, I know you're probably listening and you're like, as if the sunglasses are that big of a deal that it's going to ruin the entire wedding. And you get that, but when you're so invested and somebody wants it so perfect, you will do whatever you can for that person that you love to not ruin their best day. And you're like, I'm just going to suck it up. I'm just going to suck it up. And I am going to have to not be able to eat for a couple days.
I'll forego my trip, my vacation that I had planned this year because I want to be there for you.
And it's the things that you do for your best friends. But I do think it happens a lot more often than we think. And guaranteed, every bridesmaid's talked crap about the bride.
So if that's the end result, if resentment is the product, the byproduct of all this, bring it up.
Don't have a wedding party. I didn't have one for my wedding, and it was the best thing. All I worried about was myself,
right,
my husband, and that was it.
And you kept all your friends as a result.
I don't have friends.
No resentment there. Sonny, how much do you love proving people wrong? Like, proving doubters wrong.
Yeah.
Because I feel particularly good that we were able to take something that is not sexy by any stretch of the imagination with this week's edition of our Sexy Slow Jams. And I'm pretty proud of this.
Kevin and Sonia's Sexy Slow Jams.
Taking everyday things and trying to make them sound
sexy.
And when we threw it out to you, we said, you know, give us some random topic. And we've had all kinds of topics like, you know, socks and sandals and wearing Crocs and the NBA Finals and getting a speeding ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And every week it's a challenge for us in 15 minutes to see if we can turn that topic into a 90s-style sexy slow jam. And even myself, I'll admit, when I got the topic of hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
And when you got the topic from
a garlic.
Of garlic, I thought, how on earth are we going to turn these into sexy slow jams? And then, well, I mean, I don't want to set the bar too high, but I'm pretty proud of what we came up with.
I think so. Call me Chef Sonia. Step into my kitchen. I'll bring the wooden spoon, the spatula, and I've got all the ingredients I need tonight. Oh, don't worry. I've got an apron for you because things are going to get messy. And just like garlic, you smell good. Time to get you prepped and peel off your layers. We're going to Flavor Town and you're the mayor. You're hot like garlic in a frying pan. I like the way you sizzle. I like that you're my man. Cover you in oil makes it even better. I'm coming after you because I'm a go-getter. Waiting for you to put it in my mouth. I'll taste every part. I'll taste it down south. I like the way I like my garlic, and that's how I like you, mashed all up in my potatoes. And when that's all done, I'll take your garlic butter and spread it all over my buns.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, and kudos for the Flavortown reference. I feel like if Guy Fieri ever wrote a sexy slow jam, that would be part of it, for sure.
There's a new mayor in town, baby.
In Flavortown, if you will. Well done, Sonia. That was fantastic.
That's
I love
all
that.
About garlic. Now for you, Kevin, this one came in from Nana. Boiled eggs. Can you make that sound sexy?
Here's what I came up with in my 15 minutes. Ooh, it's date night, baby. And I'm taking care of the cooking. What's that smell you say? Oh, I'm just cooking up my specialty tonight. That's right. Turn the burner on. Turn up the heat. The longer it gets wet, the stiffer it gets.
Oh, God.
Careful with the eggs. Don't give it a poke. Don't try to fit it in your mouth or you just might choke. 7 minutes in heaven is all I need for organic protein source. I'm about to feed ya. All they need to do is have a little soak. This dinner for you will show my loves no yolks. Some like it raw, but I see your grin. You're all about getting white stuff and the albumin, the taste in my mouth. It's my favorite part. It starts soft, medium, and then gets hard. Slowly take off the peel. Undress that egg, so supple and round. Oh, it's perfect, babe. It might take a while to get made, but tonight, I say you and I should be like eggs. Huh? And let's get laid.
Oh.
Come on!
That's gross. Oh, gross.
And now you know I've been banned from IHOP.
Gross. So next time you're binge-watching your favorite show, there is a way that you can still stay healthy. You gotta make sure that you stand up at least a little bit. They say take regular stretch breaks, move around every 30 minutes is best, and watch while you are standing for part of it. Like, don't be afraid to hit the pause button, do something else, come back. But they say that you should stand up every 30 minutes.
Okay, that is setting the bar incredibly low for what constitutes as healthy advice. You should stand up. It's not stand up and do something. It's stand up. Just do something.
I mean, I do go for a walk. I stand up. I go get more chips. You know, I do some light. I do a little bit of a stretch because I have to go to the cupboard at the very top.
Oh, wow. Yeah, your jaw's getting some exercise.
I'm going and I'm stretching with my arm. You know, so you see this movement?
That
open,
is some reach.
Close.
Wow.
And then what I'm doing is I'm going and then I'm walking to the restroom.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, I'm doing kind of a squat to sit on the toilet.
You know what you need? You need to come up with an exercise DVD. You know, and explain how you can lose weight binge watching your favorite TV show.
Well, I never said you could lose weight.
I think it's kind of assumed that you wouldn't lose weight with that kind of regimen.
Come on! Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
I'm just going to say it. I think people in Vancouver are stupid and people in Edmonton are so smart. Or Whoa. That's what it's feeling like. That's what it's feeling like. Because I am feeling personally attacked right now. Because you've heard about this, right? The gold hunt that is happening right now. It kicked off about a week ago. And there are hidden treasure chests hidden in select cities. Calgary, Edmonton, and in Vancouver. $100,000 inside this treasure chest. Right away, Edmonton was snapped up. Somebody found it. Then the Calgary one was found by who? Someone from Edmonton. Oh. They were like, oh, well, the one in my city's already been found. I'm going to drive out to Calgary. I'm going to go find it. And then someone from Edmonton found it. And now in Vancouver, ours is still missing. Nobody knows if it's, well, they say that it hasn't been claimed. And no one's been able to claim it. So now I'm feeling like personally attacked. Like, what? Why aren't we getting it?
Maybe the questions are just harder.
Right? Well, it seems like it.
It's not like there's nobody participating in the gold hunt in Vancouver because we have coworkers who, at the stroke of midnight, Saturday, June 1st, when that officially, that map was released, they were on this hunt looking for this treasure. I wouldn't be surprised if people are still sleepless trying to find it because it's basically a rat race. Like whoever finds it first gets to keep the $100,000 in gold and silver coins, much like in Edmonton, much like in Calgary. So I'm sure the numbers are dwindling. So if you have been on the hunt since day one, your chances are still much higher. In fact, they're getting higher by the day.
Yeah.
Unless you have someone from Edmonton come in and take prize from under us.
Okay, so an early morning tweet this morning from someone else who is participating in the gold hunt said that turns out that there's a Calgarian driver that's in town for the $100,000 scavenger hunt, and they said that they are stopping cars on the side of the road, asking for more information when it comes to what's so Vancouver, what's so local, asking people for help.
So they went in on this too.
Of course. I mean, at this point, if the one in your city has been found and you look at other ones and you're like, hey, it was found so quickly in Edmonton. Oh, it was found so quickly in Calgary. Why not head to Vancouver if you're coming here anyway? I mean, it's a beautiful place to be anyway.
It's a little bit of a kick in the pants though. If you have been going since hour one of this competition and you're not sleeping, you're not really properly eating, and somebody who decides on the how many days are into it now, they decide like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just start this now, and they find it.
Oh my god, you're Ooh. Just so mad.
But that's just, I mean, that's the nature of the game. That's the nature of the scavenger hunt.
And that is just life sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Like you're staring at a puzzle and it happens all the time, and I'm staring at this puzzle and I cannot figure it out and I do not know how to do it. And then someone like you, Kevin, you come around and you're like, oh yeah, Sonia just goes like,
yeah, well, we think differently, right?
Yeah.
That's the magic of, you know, when you get a group together for an escape room, for example, everybody's got different strengths and it all depends on who's on your team. For example, I suggest that if you are still on the Vancouver gold hunt, you contact that guy from Jeopardy who was on the winning streak.
Oh.
Right?
Bro,
I mean, it's
I
not
need
like
you.
He needs the money at this point.
Yeah,
no.
He could just do it to be in the headlines again because let's face it, now he's old news.
Mm-hmm.
He's done.
You know what? If I had $2.4 million and they called me old news, I'd be fine with that
too.
I'm okay. So I do. Someone get on contacting that guy right now.
Yeah.
He could be the secret to getting the gold.
Calgarians are invited to make the world's largest human maple leaf. This is something that is going to be happening Labor Day long weekend. This is currently a title that we hold here in Vancouver, but now Calgary is like, no, we want to try to take that away from you, Vancouver, and they are hoping to take it away.
Okay, so is it in poor taste to sabotage it?
No.
Okay, what about the fact that it's a charity event?
Oh. No, it is fine.
I mean, you can still raise a lot of money, still not beat a record. I mean,
yeah.
I think we're very competitive here in Vancouver.
I think so.
So then what we need to do, and I don't know how like cheeky this is, but you know, when are they holding this again? End of August, right?
Yeah, this is supposed to be happening. Oh, sorry, yeah, it's August 31st.
Okay, so if they beat our record, can we just on September 1st, like plan at the fair? You know, the P&E fair,
oh, yeah,
for example.
The day after, because you're just going to throw something together. You know, Vancouver, we have a really hard time committing to doing anything 3 hours from now.
Yeah, but everyone's going to be there anyway. Might as well.
That's
it's like,
true.
Hey, rare wed that day. Okay, and everybody stand right there. Done. Ha! Take that, Calgary.
Kevin and Sonia's not-so-secret word. Brought to you by Pepper Wireless, the number one Fido dealer.
Hey, Maddie.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, you're just brushing your teeth right now. Thanks for making this part of your morning routine. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, make sure you're done. You rinse, you spit all the toothpaste out of your mouth because we want to be able to hear your answers nice and clear because we've got Science World passes up for grabs, four of them to be exact. But standing in your way is Lori, who's driving your daughter to school in Abbotsford right now. What school are you heading to, Lori?
Eugene Reimer.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you heard about the story coming from Chilliwack, but in just a few weeks, the pregnant women living in Chilliwack are going to have to leave the city to give birth because the maternity ward at Chilliwack General Hospital is temporarily going to be closing down. And so expectant moms are going to be told to go to Abbotsford Regional Hospital instead. That's as of June 24th. So if you're, that's where you're going to have to head to. So our not-so-secret word is baby, B-A-B-Y, baby.
I really hope that any expectant mom is listening right now who lives in that area or has got the memo, because that would be a horrible, horrible thing to realize as you're en route to the Chilliwack Hospital, you know, June 24th onward. You're like, I'm in the wrong city.
Well, I mean, I would assume you'd have a doctor's appointment, still another doctor's appointment that was leading up to it.
That's
right. Right, that your doctor would say, hey, just a reminder, this is not the hospital we're going to go to anymore. We're going to have to go to Abbotsford versus Chilliwack.
Or we're going to hear a lot of stories in the news about people giving birth on the side of the highway.
Oh,
just outside
my
of
God.
Chilliwack, right? Like, oh, couldn't make it to Abbotsford.
Oh, yeah, that's a reality TV show right there. Sign it to TLC.
Highway babies.
Yeah.
What's it called? Maddie and Lori, today's not so secret word, as Sonny mentioned, is baby, B-A-B-Y. So we're going to give each of you 30 seconds on the clock and a series of clues as to words, phrases, and names that all have babies somewhere in the answer. If you get the most right, in your 30 seconds, you win. If you get stuck, you can pass, but you only get
one pass!
All right. Maddie, Team Kevin, or Team Sonya?
Team Sonya.
Let's do it, Maddie. 30 seconds on the clock. It starts now. This is a kids' song.
Baby shark.
You throw this for someone who's about to have a kid.
It's baby shower.
Yes. When you make sure the house is safe for the child.
Baby proof.
Yes. When you look after someone else's kids, you pay them
baby
to.
Sit.
Yeah. It's a type of dress that people wear. It's like spaghetti straps. Okay. This is when someone's so emotional and starts getting teary-eyed over everything. Oh, stop being
Party
such
baby.
A. Sorry?
Party.
Yes, that is correct. You ended up getting five correct. The one that you passed on, baby doll. Baby doll is the one that you got. So five is the number to beat from Maddie.
Okay, Lori, are we up for the challenge? Can we beat five?
We're going to try.
Okay, I like that. It's a can-do attitude. Lori, 30 seconds back on the clock with the not-so-secret word baby. Our time begins right now. When someone looks really, really young, you say they have a what?
Baby face?
Yes. It's a type of dairy. It's, you know, it's a small red packaging, and you get in a six-pack. Kids love to eat it as a snack. I think you does this ring a blank?
Baby Bell.
Yes, there we go. It's a song by a Vanilla.
I say it's baby.
Yes, there we go. It's something that you say when you have too much to eat, your gut sticking out. Sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, I'm having a what? Pass? You want to pass?
Pass.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no. Oh, the old food baby.
Yeah, you're looking for a food baby. So the score of 5-3, Maddie in Langley, you're going to Science World.
Way to go, Maddie.
Congratulations. You got a 4-pack of tickets that are yours. You can go anytime to go check it out. Congratulations. Lori, I'm sorry it didn't work out for you today, but we got good news coming up tomorrow. We've got another round of Not So Secret Word and your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to Science World.